Genesis chapter 12. The title of my lesson this morning is Waiting in Expectation. Waiting in Expectation. It's been a very unusual week. I know the kids were fired up. What you don't realize, in case they haven't told you, is you're going to make up all those days. Those days were not for free. What that means is going forward, you got no free days. As a matter of fact, I'm being told they're going to keep you 2 more days at the end of May to make up all those days that you missed. So, sorry. You know, and I know, there's no such thing as a free lunch. You're going to make it up. But I'm glad we kept the national championship in the SEC. Auburn won. Now, hang on. Christy Robertson went to Auburn. And my Bible says, rejoice with those who rejoice. Congratulations, guys. I'm happy for you. You wanted Oregon to win? They're not in the SEC, man. 5 years in a row. I'm excited, man. We got to keep it here. Genesis chapter 12. I wasn't very happy last night. The Falcons lost. Danny and I were at the game. Man, you could have heard a pin drop. When they ran that interception back for a touchdown just before the second quarter ended. Man. But it's okay. We'll live to fight another day. I thought this was the year, but God says no. It's all right. Genesis 12. In verse 1. It says, the Lord said to Abram, Abraham, same person, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife, Sarah, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated, and the people they had acquired in Haran. And they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. Let me start off by asking, are there any 75-year-old people in the room? Go ahead and raise your hand, please. 75. Okay, we got one. 76. All right, we got two. Okay. This was how old Abraham was. When God says, I want you to get up, and I want you to go to this land, I will show you. And it's amazing, God makes him several promises. He says, I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great. Whoever curses you, I will curse. And then it goes on to say, all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you. 75 years old. When most people today are retired and enjoying their grandkids and just loving life. God says, there's still work to be done. And he got up. Notice, God did not tell him where he was going. God made several promises to Abraham. There are 4 elements to this promise. There was the seed. There was the land. There was the nation. and define divine blessings and promises. But you see, you and I reading the Bible, obviously, many centuries later, all these promises were not meant to call for fulfillment all at once. Are you with me? As a matter of fact, these promises, the fulfillment of them extends through all the scriptures. You and I, believe me today, as God's children, are part of this promise. Which is, all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Are you with me? You see, the Bible has so many promises from God. There's so many things that you and I pray for and ask God for on a daily basis throughout our lives. God never promises that all of them will be answered in one day. God never promises that you and I will not go through stuff even before we get those things. The mistake we make, even as God's children a lot of times, is we think, you know what, hey, it's going to happen just like that. It's going to happen for me this week. It's going to happen next week. It's going to happen this month. There's something called God's timing. And guess what? You and I know absolutely nothing about it. God has his own timetable. Just like we have ours. But see, God does things in his own time. Amen? He says, after this, in Genesis chapter 5, 15, go ahead and turn there. So far, so good. Abraham got up and he left. Okay? Because of time, I'm not going to go through all the stuff that he went through. In Genesis 15, beginning verse 1, it says, after this, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward. But Abram said, Sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless? And no one will inherit my estate. Excuse me. And the one who will inherit my estate is Eleazar of Damascus. And Abram said, you have given me no children. So a servant in my household will be my heir. Then the word of the Lord came to him. This man will not be your heir. But a son who is your own flesh and blood will be your heir. He took him outside and said, I love this. Look at the sky and count the stars. If indeed you can count them, then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. Abraham believed the Lord, and it was credited to him as righteousness. So we know God called him, he's 75 years old, he's childless. He and Sarah don't have any kids. He leaves. Later on, God shows up. He always does that. Just to reassure him that I'm still here. I'm still going to keep my word. Abraham got bold and said, Lord, you know, you made me a promise that, you know, you're going to make me into this great nation. I got no kid. There's something wrong with this picture. As a matter of fact, somebody from my household is going to be my heir. God said, no. Step outside. Look up. Start counting the stars. I'm sure you've tried to do that at some point. I always lose counts. Like, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Did I come back to that one? Okay, let me keep going. It's like, at some point I just go, this is not possible. That was what God did with Abraham. He says, so shall your offspring be. And the Bible says, Abraham believed God. And it was credited to him as righteousness. So far, so good. Genesis 17. Before we get to Genesis 17, Abraham decided to take things into his own hands. He said, you know what? God said, I'm going to, you know, a nation is going to come from me. But in chapter 16, something very interesting happens. Actually, Sarah went to him and said, you know what? God is, I think he's forgotten about that promise about you becoming a great nation. Why don't you take my maidservant, Hagar, go ahead and sleep with her, and that way it's your blood, and he will be your heir. And so he went ahead and he did it. Now you're sitting there going, how can that be? Back then, things were very different. They weren't thinking like us Westerners. And so he goes ahead and sleeps with Hagar. And they had a son. His name was Ishmael. Hagar realized, you know what, I'm pregnant. And she starts getting sassy with Sarah. Say, hey, I got a baby. You can't have no kid. Sarah said, you know what? It's funny. You can read the whole story later. Sarah now goes to Abraham and says, you see what you've caused? But he was, the idea came from her in the first place. So Hagar takes off. And you know the story. If you don't know, you need to go study it out. But then in Genesis 17, the Bible says in verse 1, when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am God Almighty. Walk before me faithfully and be blameless. Then I will make my covenant between me and you will greatly increase your numbers. Abram fell face down and God said to him, as for me, this is my covenant with you. You will be the father of many nations. No longer will be called Abram, your name will be called Abraham. For I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you very fruitful. I will make nations of you, and kings will come from you. And I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants after you for generations to come. To be your God and the God of your descendants after you. Again, we see God reassuring Abraham. Say, you know what? I haven't forgotten my promise. I have the power to do this. As a matter of fact, I'm going to change your name. I'm going to give you a new name. Abram means exalted father. Abraham means father of many. Are you with me? And so God changed his name. Abram. I said, no, don't call me that anymore. What's your name now? Abraham. Oh, really? You are now the father of many nations. Yeah. You see, why am I bringing this up? Abraham tried to take matters into his own hands. And I think as Christians, a lot of times we do the same thing. We're praying for something, we're begging God for something, we think this is it, and God says, nah. You know, it's funny. A lot of us were stuck at home this week because of the snow. And people started calling, have we heard from the bank yet? Have we heard from the bank? It's like, chill out, man. Patience. And we hadn't heard from the bank because they too were snowed in. But we got a call yesterday. And somebody else went to the bank straight. I don't know who. We don't know. And I made a bid for the building we're trying to get, and they offered Bank of America $2.2 million, which we don't have. And so they said, well, sorry guys, we're going to go with these guys, and they have till February 28th to close. You know, what are we going to do with that? We can either get down and go, oh man, we thought, man, that's going to be our building. Or we can say, you know what? God has something better for us. You see, you got to understand God's timing. And I forget, several years ago, when my wife and I were leading the church in Lagos, Nigeria, we found a piece of property that we wanted to buy for the church. And we were going to buy it from the government. And we got in there. They said they're going to sell it to us. And then when they went back and checked their records, they found out that they had sold the same piece of property to somebody else years before. And so, you know, no show. And I'll never forget standing up for the church saying something very similar as I'm saying this morning. That, guys, don't worry about that. Okay, God knows what he's doing. And would you believe that a few months later, we found another piece of property that was actually bigger than what we're going to buy, and we got it for less price. And so right now, God is saying, you know what? This particular building on Lawrenceville Highway, maybe that's not it. Maybe it is it. We don't know. But I believe that God also is watching our reaction. Are we going to stay faithful? Or are we going to drop our heads and go, oh boy. You see what I'm saying? We got to wait in expectation. Because what we cannot do as a church is try and get ahead of God. Every single person that has tried it in the Bible, they always get into trouble. And you see, all these things were written down for us, like it says in 1 Corinthians 10, as warnings for us, so that we don't make the same mistakes people made back in the Old Testament. Are you with me? The same thing is true in your personal life. I think so many times we want to run ahead of God. You know, my wife and I, we've been doing marriage counseling now for over 2 decades. And it always amazes me, you know, you're sitting there trying to help a couple in their marriage because, you know, there's an epidemic out there where the divorce rate is incredible. Even quote-unquote amongst quote-unquote Christians. It's like, oh, I'm getting a divorce. Like, excuse me? What Bible are you reading? And so we do a lot of marriage counseling. And it's amazing to me how, I don't know where we got this idea that you get married simply because you are in love. Oh, we used to be in love. So? That doesn't mean you commit your life to somebody. You know, it's amazing to me. I mean, think about it. Driving. You're going to take a driving test. And if you don't pass that test, they're not going to give you a license. There are so many things that we get training for. And here we are, you're about to enter into the second most important decision you're going to make in your life. Where you're going to live with somebody all your life. And there's no training. None. And then we get into it. The infatuation wears out. And you got issues to deal with. Well, I'm just going to get a divorce. That's not the answer. Because you're just going to go into another relationship because it's the same you. There are things in you that need to change for that relationship to work. Again, I'm using that as an example. Okay? Those of us in here that are single, are in college, I really want you to hear me out on this. Because it's very, very important. Marriage is a very serious issue. The fact that you're in love doesn't mean you don't go get married. Love is good. It's great. You know, if you don't do this right, there are things you would wish that you had learned before you got married. We're talking about, for instance, how to solve disagreements without arguing. Some of us learned that the hard way, me included. We need to learn before we get married that understanding that forgiveness is not a feeling. You need to plan for handling money. It's always amazing, in most relationships, the husband or wife, one is, you know, carefree about money, the other one is, you know, very strict. And you wonder why there's a conflict. Then let's just go out and buy it, baby. But you see, you got to look at all these kind of issues. Sometimes we forget that you are marrying into a family. You're not just marrying that man or that woman. You are married into a family. You take everybody. You say, well, I don't want that. Then you don't need to get married. You need to stay single. But you see, these are things that we need to learn before we go into something like this. We need to learn that you don't equate spirituality with somebody going to church. And my favorite, one of the things you're going to learn, I think you need to learn before you get married, is that toilets don't clean themselves. Somebody's got to scrub the bathroom. Where I'm from, that's a woman's job. Really? Again, I use marriage as an example. You can put anything you want in there. See, a lot of times we see people and we don't understand what they've been through in life to get them to where they are. Bishop Ross, could you stand up? He's one of our elders, Alan Rouse. Okay? You can see he's got gray hair. Even his beard is white, he's gray. That tells you he's been through some stuff. You see, it's easy for us to look at someone like him and say, you know what? Boy, look at his house. Look at his cars. He's got this, he's got that, he's got this. And here you are, you're 26 years old. Well, I want the same kind of house. I want to have two cars in the garage. You don't need two cars in the garage. What have you seen in life or experienced? Because he's at a different stage. Are you with me? When you get to be his age, when you've seen your kids through college, and you're close to retirement, you want to go buy a BMW, there's more power to you. But you don't do that when you're 26. Thank you. Do you see the point I'm making? You see, a lot of times we see people, but you don't understand what they've been through. You've got to wait in expectation. Because you have to run your own race. And believe me, everybody's race is different. You know, if you watch the New York Marathon or Boston Marathon or even the Petrie race over here, you know, Gary goes out and runs that race. Okay? And he just, you know, he enters and he wants to finish. That's his goal. Gary understands he cannot compete with those guys from East Africa. Mostly Kenyans. And would you know, they're all from the same tribe. I mean, look at someone like me. Do I look like a marathon runner to you? Uh-uh. You see those guys? They're lanky, skinny. I mean, it's amazing. But you see what a lot of people do not know. They train and they live over a mile above sea level. Can you imagine training in that altitude every day? The Rift Valley. Some of you saw the movie Out of Africa. It was filmed there. Beautiful scenery. It's actually higher than Denver. And so you can imagine training that, you know, for 4 to 6 hours every day. So what happens when they get to sea level? Oh, baby. With all this air. They're just going, baby. They're just going. And you and I are breathing heavy. You know, we're breathing heavy. You see, Gary, someone like Gary is not trying to compete with those guys. He couldn't. They're running their own race. He's running his own race. The same thing is true for us spiritually. And if you try and speed this thing up, you will mess it up. Always. Oh, I want to get married. Says who? Jesus was single. Paul was single. Now, I highly recommend marriage. All right? But the last thing you want to do is go get married to the wrong person. Because there's no getting out. You don't go add insult to injury. I'm just going to divorce. Well, if you're a member of this church, that's not happening. Not on my watch. I can tell you that right now. Because we're going to follow the Bible. Amen. The elders and I are going to enforce the scriptures. But see, we got to wait on God. Don't run ahead. Don't compromise your convictions. Don't go do stuff that, how come? Lord, I've been here. But watch this. Okay, let me get back to my sermon. In Genesis 21, something beautiful happens. In Genesis 21, remember, he made the promise to Abraham when? In Genesis 12. He was 75 years old. You do the math. In Genesis 21, it says, now the Lord was gracious to Sarah, as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah what he had promised. Sarah became pregnant and bore a son to Abraham in his old age, at the very time God had promised him. Abraham gave the name Isaac to his son, to the son Sarah bore him. When his son Isaac was 8 days old, Abraham circumcised him, as God commanded him. Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born. How long did he have to wait? 25 years. Wow. See, a lot of times we don't see that in the story. 25 years he had to wait. You got to wait on God. God will give you what he has promised. But it's going to be done in his time, not yours. If you try and run ahead of God, you're going to mess up. You got to just chill and let the Almighty do what he does best. Amen. You know, when I first came to this country back in 1980, I was up in school in Connecticut, and a lot of my friends, Africans like me, who came to get an education in this country, they decided that they were going to get married to Americans as a means of staying here. And every single one of them, to a man, did it. As far as I know, as I'm speaking to you right now, every single one of those men is divorced. So what's wrong with you? Besides, she likes you. You just marry her. I said, uh-uh. If I'm going to marry somebody, it's because I want to spend the rest of my life with them. I am not doing this. This is wrong. I was not a Christian then. This is wrong. I am not going to do it. I look back now, I'm so glad I didn't. I had to go find my wife in Africa. She wasn't anywhere here in the U.S. God had to take me to East Africa to go find her. I'd never been there before. But see, you got to wait on God. Because God will never lead you astray. Amen? My late mother's name was Sarah. Sarah raised me, and then I married one. Oh, I got it good. Two wonderful people. I couldn't have scripted this, but I had to wait on God. Again, I'm just using myself as an example. I don't know what your situation is, but you got to wait on the Lord. Don't mess up. Oh, I want to experience this. I want to do this. I want to do this. You better watch out. When you fall, nobody's going to be there to catch you. You will suffer. These things were written down for our benefit. Amen? Amen. We got to wait on the Lord. We got to wait in expectation. We got to trust God. You know, I saw the movie Secretariat the other day. How many people have seen that movie? Oh, you got to go watch it. Secretariat was the last horse that won the Triple Crown. That is the Kentucky Derby, the Preakness, and the Belmont Stakes. I knew the story in terms of, okay, yeah, this horse won the Triple Crown. But it's something else watching the movie. Because you're told a lot of things that happened in the background that I didn't know. I had no idea. It was a very inspiring movie, by the way. You need to go rent it and watch it. And you can rent them these days for a dollar. Okay? But there's a scene in there that I'm going to talk about. I'm sorry. I know I don't like people telling me what's in a will, but I'm going to have to tell you this. This lady got the horse, you know, reared it, raised it and everything. And it's the morning of the Kentucky Derby. And going into the race, that was the first one, he hadn't been eating properly. And the handler got up that day, fed him, and he ate. And he went to the racetrack very early in the morning, before anybody got up. So around 5 o'clock in the morning, on the racetrack. And the guy goes, "Good morning, Kentucky!" "You are about to see something you ain't never seen before." Ooh, I was getting excited. I said, "Oh yeah." Talking about the horse, says, I forget his name at that point. Old Brown or something. Big Red. Big Red ate all his breakfast. And man, that horse came out and just took everybody on. He was inspiring. Won the Kentucky Derby, won the Preakness. And then the last race, there's this other owner talking trash. Some Italian guy. And I did not know this. He won that final race by like 37 lengths. It was unbelievable. He just took off. I did not know that fact. I was like, wow, this is inspiring. But you see, you and I today, because we watched that movie, we can look back and see that. You know, they had to leave this stuff out. They had no idea what was about to happen. Are you with me? You see, we can look back and see the example of others and learn from it. Because God brought about the fulfillment of the seed. Because it was through Isaac. You know the lineage? Isaac, Jacob, and so on, and the patriarchs. That's the line that Jesus came from. Are you with me? David came from there. Solomon came from that line. Kings did come from Abraham. And the point I'm making this morning, church, is God always keeps his word. And so, yeah, there'll be disappointments. There'll be times that we think, oh, man, this is it. And God says, nah, it's not. It's okay. Are we disappointed? Yeah. But are we going to be faithless? No. There's a big difference. Amen? There's a big difference. We're not going to be faithless. I know God has a place for us. If anything, we still got our money in our pocket. Amen? $600,000 and counting. That's exciting. But we're going to wait on God. So I say all that to say, you know, don't stop praying. If anything, we need to continue to pray. Amen? And God in his own time will lead us exactly where we need to go. And the cool thing about all this stuff is we've done a lot of work already. And so you don't believe our agent is out again looking for us. But that's okay. Amen? So now you have it. Now you know. Don't call my house. I'm just trying to be funny. You can call my house all you want. No problem. What are you willing to wait for? What are you willing to wait for? I can tell you as I stand up here, there are things that I've been praying for since the day I became a Christian. And God has not answered me yet. Am I going to stop praying? Oh, no. I'm still praying because I know he's going to answer me. Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, maybe not next week, but it's going to happen. There's no doubt in my mind. Amen? Amen. You know, in Psalm chapter 5, and this is where I'm going to end, beginning verse 1. David says, "Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my sign. Listen to my cry for help, my King and my God, for to you I pray. In the morning, O Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my request before you. and wait in expectation. That's what we need to do. As a man after God's own heart. All I ask, whatever it is that's going on in your life, make sure God hears your voice. Every day. Not just in the morning. All day long. Every day. Just lay your request before His throne. And you wait in expectation. Because He will fulfill His promises to you. You can take that to the bank. God bless you all.
Let's pray. God, thank you so much for Richard's message about waiting in expectation. Father, I know that it's challenging when you're looking for a better job and you want somebody in your family to become a Christian and your children are struggling in school. And Father, just all the relevant things we deal with every day, but it is true, Father, that you have a race marked out for each one of us. And Father, let us run that race with perseverance. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus. Let us not buy into the world and buy into a poor economy. There's no such thing when it comes to your saints. There's no such thing that people can't make it. And there's no such thing, Father, of a hopeless life. Father, we truly love you. We thank you that we are disciples, that we're called out to be your children. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. You are dismissed. Thank you.